Anyone you know that will come from a part of the world where we do not have the technology that you have here. There's so many things you take for granted here that some people in some other parts of the world struggle to get. But we are grateful that God was there with us. We are grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful. It's something for which we can never finish thanking God. That God has a way of stooping down to the weak to lift those who cannot help themselves. That's why we are here. You know the statistics of those who went with COVID here. And the part of the world where all the experts in the world were saying, oh, they are finished. They will not be able to stand up after this. They will just be wiped out. God was there. He did not allow us to be wiped out. And we will serve this God forever. The second thing I want to do is thank the Lord for this congregation. Pastor has said it historically that God, who orders our steps in life, caused it to be that when the church was on the other side, permit me to use that expression, we were there. And with God, there are no mistakes. This is the very first church in which the Lord will cause the brethren to give us the right hand of fellowship when we started coming to America 24 years ago. I cannot forget this church. It's not possible. It's not possible. If God has opened some of that doors where we go to share fellowship with the people, this church takes the lead in terms of the first place where God allowed us to go and fellowship and represent him. I thank the Lord for New Covenant, Artsville, and I thank God for all that God is using you to do. And by the grace of God, we'll all get to the promised land. My wife will share some thoughts in song.
Hallelujah. Added to what my husband has said, the song I want to sing this morning is the testimony of every one of us, because the story of every one of us. The Lord has been good to us. He has visited us. He has been kind to us. And all we just have to do is just keep thanking him and blessing his holy name for all he has done for us. Hallelujah. As I look back over my life, I can see what God has done. I can truly say I've been blessed. I have a testimony. As I look back over my life, and I see what God has done, I can truly say I've been blessed. I have a testimony. Brother, see what the Lord has done. Sister, see what the Lord has done. I can truly say I've been blessed. I have a testimony. All the way to Calvary he went for me, he went for me, he went for me. All the way to Calvary he went for me, he died to set me free. All the way to Calvary he went for me, he went for me, he went for me. All the way to Calvary he went for me, he died to set me free. As I look back over my life and I see what God has done, I can truly say I've been blessed. I have a testimony. It's not by power, it's not by might, by my spirit, says the Lord. It's not by power, it's not by might, by my spirit, says the Lord. This mountain shall be removed, this dry land shall thrive again, this dry sea shall overflow, by my spirit, says the Lord. This dry land shall thrive again, by my spirit, says the Lord. As I look back over my life and I see what God has done, I can truly say I've been blessed. I am a testimony. If you look back over your life, you will see what God has done, and you should truly say you've been blessed. You are a testimony. Brother, see what the Lord has done. Sister, see what the Lord has done. We can truly say we've been blessed. We are a testimony. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. We can truly say we've been blessed. We are a testimony. Thank you very much.
Everlasting Father, thank you again for the miracle, the privilege of standing here. the place that really belongs to the Lord Jesus. But because of what he has done, we can stand in his place. Father, I do not take it for granted. The people are your people. The gospel is your message. The spirit, everything is yours. I pray that you will help me so that, Lord, I will tell your people what you want them to hear. I pray that they will receive it as from the Lord and that you'll be fully glorified. In Jesus' name, I pray. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. I'll read from verse 26 to 28. Genesis 1. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. Let us go to Psalm 115, the book of Psalms. Psalm 115. I will read verse 16. The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth had he given to the children of men. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth had he given to the children of man. We go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1, from verse 19. Ephesians 1, from verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And had put all things, notice, he says, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, for the sake of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Finally, the book of Ecclesiastes. Finally, for now, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, from verse 5 to verse 7. I have, from verse 5, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun. It is an error which proceeded from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity and a rich seat in low place. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Let me take it again. There is an evil that I've seen under the sun, an error which proceeded from the ruler. Fully is said in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. The Lord put it in my heart to share with the people of God on have dominion. So if you want a title for the sharing this morning, it is have dominion. Have dominion. I looked up the definition of the word dominion, and I reworked it in my own way to suit my purpose. Dominion, to have dominion, is to have the right to rule, the right to exercise authority. The right to rule, the right to exercise authority, the right to take control, the right to take charge. That is what it means to operate in dominion. We have read from four places to begin with. And if you are following as I was reading, you will have noticed that right from the outset, right from the beginning, the man that God made, he made to have dominion. And of course, that will reflect the fact that man was made in the image of God. God does not answer to anyone. Everything else answers to God. So in making man in his image, the principle of dominion was bequeathed to man. The man that God made was not a slave. The man that God made was not a cringing creature. The man that God made was a master in his own house. That was the man that God made in the beginning. Somebody said, if you want to establish whether something is the will of God or not, he said, just look at it from three dimensions. Number one, how was that thing before man sinned? Whatever it is, you want to establish if it's the will of God or not, look at that thing before man sinned. Number two, he said, look at it relative to when Jesus came. What was Jesus' attitude to that thing when he was here physically to pay the price for our sins? How did Jesus relate to that issue? He said, number three, when we get to heaven, how would that thing be in the economy of God? And it is very true. If you take anything, you just want to look at it and establish very quickly whether it's the will of God or not. By the time you look at it from these three dimensions, it will be very clear to you whether it's the will of God or not. And I will look at this topic from a number of dimensions to, by the grace of God, make it clear to us that the man that God made, he made to walk in dominion. He made to reign on his behalf. He made to rule on his behalf. Now, let's look at the first dimension, before the fall. What did man look like before there was sin in creation? When there was no sin, what kind of status? The man that God made, what did he look like? And it is very clear in the Bible that the man that God made before the fall, as I've said, he was a master in his own house. He was in charge. God gave him authority. God gave him dominion. The Bible says God created a garden in the eastern part of Eden, and there he put the man that he had made. And you know that with God, everything he does is deliberate. God does not do anything by accident. He does not do anything by happenstance. If God does anything, it's deliberate. He does not operate by feats and starts. Everything God does is by design. So the first man he made, he put him in a garden and he put him in charge. He was to till the garden and he was to keep the garden. That was the way God put it in Genesis. That was the man that made. He had a blueprint in mind, and on the basis of that blueprint, he created man. The expression is very clear in Genesis. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So God therefore made man and then put him in a garden. And the garden where God put him was not just a garden, it was a treasure store of minerals, of all kinds of mineral resources. That's the story of Genesis. He put him in a place that was rich, that was blessed. And he asked them to be in charge of all that. There were rivers in the garden. If I know some of you have swimming pools in your home, and in some parts of the world, I don't know about here, that would be a sign of, relative comfort. But the man God made, the estate he gave to him, didn't just have a swimming pool, it had four rivers. And the man could cross from one part of the estate to the other, and he did not need a bridge. The only person that you remember did that kind of thing in the Bible was Jesus Christ himself, walking on water. Because Jesus is the pattern son. Jesus is God's pattern. After sin came to humanity, of what God wants man to look like, how God wants man to live. Jesus came to show us. He's the living word. He came to show us God's will for humanity. So he lived there and was in charge together with his wife. And as long as they obeyed God, everything was in line. There was nothing that was out of tune with God's blueprint. As long as they obeyed God, life obeyed them, so to say. That's God's blueprint for man. That's God's blueprint for man. It was when sin came into the picture that Satan reduced man to a stooge, to a slave. Somebody said God made a man, but Satan made a slave. That's his poetic way of putting it. So God made man to be free under him and to walk in dominion, to walk in authority, to be in charge. But sin came into the picture and reduced him to a cringing slave. So we have looked at what man was like before the fall. With the fall, when the fall came, man sinned. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 23, it says, man sinned and came short of the glory of God. But you will find that even though man came short of the glory of God, you still find in man, the desire to master his environment. The desire for mastery is still innate in sinful man. So you find that even sinful man, even though he has lost the better part of the glory that God gave to him, you find that he has excelled, he has mastered. Call it nature, call it life, call it his environment. He has triumphed over so many of the things that, were there in creation, showing the mastery, the principle of mastery that God put in him. Just by way of reminding you, from the early years of the experiment by the Wright brothers in 1903, when they came up with their contraption, that was the beginning of aviation. Today you have supersonic jets. You have all kinds of, machines that are made along that line. The feat that man, even as a sinful creature, has been able to attain. And today we talk about man, not just in space. The first man to go to space was 1957. In 1969, the first man walked on the moon. And now robots are going to Mars. by people who don't even know God. We are talking about people who are sinners. But that tells you something about the nature and the ability that God has given to man. Sheep today are built. You see that regularly here, but some of them as high as 14 stories high. And the flow that these are made by people, many of whom don't even go to church. But they tell you something about man, the man God made, and some of the abilities that he put in him. So even with the fall, man has been able to demonstrate some level of glory, some level of triumph in his life. And there was a time the tallest building in the world was the pyramids of Egypt. The pyramids of Egypt were the tallest buildings in the world for over 3,000 years. Now the tallest building in the world is the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, built by human beings who mostly don't even go to church. But that tells you about the capacity that God has put in man, which he has been able to harness, if you like, even outside of God's grace, and he's been able to achieve certain things. So we see the trajectory is very clear. Before the fall, he was a master in his own house. He was not a slave. He was in charge. With the fall, the glory diminished. But even then, we see that man is still master. Man is still, you know, a creature that leaves so much to wonder about. Sophocles, one of the greatest writers of the ancient world, he said, man is such a paradox. He said, it's both the glory and the scandal of the universe. That is man. That is sinful man. Now let's go to the new creature in Christ. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There we begin to see that the greatest possibilities that God has in mind for man are ahead for those who are his in Christ. We're talking about the principle of dominion. But before I touch on that, let me say this. I don't know if I've said this here before. Everything God has made can be put into five segments. Everything that God has created, naturally created, you can put into five segments. If you arrange them hierarchically, at the base, you will find what I call the mineral world. All minerals, beginning from ordinary sand to gemstones, they are all minerals. They are the base. On top of the mineral world is the plant kingdom. Plant kingdom is on top of that. On top of the plant kingdom, you have the animal kingdom. On top of the animal kingdom, you have the human kingdom. And on top of it all is the kingdom of God. Now, God has constituted these things in such a way that no member of a kingdom below can rise by its own effort to the kingdom above, except something happens from above. For instance, no member of the mineral kingdom can of his own self gravitate into the plant kingdom unless a plant grows and stretches its roots into the soil. When it does that, it draws what was once a member of the mineral kingdom and it makes it living tissue. It becomes part of the plant. The same thing with the plant. No member of the plant kingdom can rise by its own effort into the animal kingdom unless there is a move from above. That is, if, for instance, you find an animal eats grass. When an animal eats grass, masticates it, digests it, then what was initially part of the grass becomes part of the animal through the miracle of digestion. This is how God has arranged it. No member of any kingdom can gravitate of its own self to the kingdom above except there is a move from above. Now, on top of the animal kingdom is the human kingdom. And no member of the animal kingdom can cross by itself into the human kingdom except a man kills an animal. If a man kills an animal, then he eats the animal. Then what was part of the animal becomes part of the man. It is also the same thing relative to the human kingdom and the kingdom of God. No human being can by his own effort move or ascend into the kingdom of God. There is only one way God has provided, and that is that when we preach the word, somebody repents. When there is repentance through the miracle of redemption, the man that was just merely a member of the human kingdom becomes a member of the kingdom of God. That is how God has arranged it. If you are born again, you belong in the highest of kingdoms. That's the point I was trying to bring out. You belong in the highest of kingdoms. And the Spirit of God is in you. And God intends to use you to establish his purposes on earth to the degree that you cooperate with him. And it is my prayer in the name of Jesus that we all will cooperate with God. Let me just show us a few references in that regard. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. When my sister was out here leading in prayers some moments ago, she touched on that briefly. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He has made us what? Kings and priests. He has made us kings and priests. And the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of the king is, there is power. As priests, we stand in between man and God. That's the basic responsibility of the priest. He goes to God on behalf of man. He comes to man on behalf of God. That's what the priest does, basically. It might be to give a message. It might be in form of intercession. But the priest is an intermediary between man and God. The Bible says here, he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. In other words, if you are a child of God, the spirit of kingship is inside of you because the spirit of God is inside of you. And there is a dimension of that that has to do with manifesting his dominion. We are coming to that. Ways in which his dominion will be manifested in our lives. He has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we. We are in this world. Doesn't say when we get to heaven. As he is, so are we in this world. We are here to represent him, to stand as kings and priests. There will be areas where he wants us to function in the kingship anointing. And there will be areas in which he wants us to function as priests. We do that when we, go into intercession and we stand to mediate between God and man. That his will in heaven will be done on earth. But there is the kingship aspect that has to do with walking in dominion, in authority, enacting, establishing God's purposes on earth. Praise the Lord forevermore. These are responsibilities that God has given to us as people that belong to him. If you are saved, you are not just waiting for the day you were raptured. There is an assignment God has given to you here, and that assignment entails walking in dominion, walking the authority, the believer's authority, in order to subject things to his will here, or in order to cause his will in heaven to be done on earth. If you don't do that, God will be watching. That's why we have to pray. That's why wherever God puts you, you have to take responsibility. You don't have to tell the people there, even your workplace. If, for instance, you have a boss that is not just an ordinary unbeliever, but is a nasty person, maybe you see that this person has some demons maybe walking through him, you are not just to take that lying low, because that's your workplace. You shouldn't go to him and say anything, no, but you must handle that spiritually. God has put you there to represent his will. And it means in prayer, as the Lord will lead you, you must be binding, you must be loosened, you must be taking charge for God, so that that place will become what God wants it to be. Praise the Lord. Daniel functioned in that office. He did. Anyway, Daniel was, the light of God was there. Joseph functioned in that office. If Joseph was somewhere, the light of God was there. And it didn't consist in going to make provocative statements. No. You don't have to walk up to anybody to say anything. But by the time, by the grace of God, you are pressing spiritual buttons that the Lord has given to you by his grace, as somebody that he has given authority to, you begin to see certain changes. Changes begin to take place gradually. And God begins to get glory in that place. You come from a family where nobody is ever saved. Everybody in that family, every other person, maybe all your uncles are drunkards. You are not to be complaining. You are to see that as an assignment that God has given to you. That because he has put you there and he has allowed you to know him, it is assignment for you. That it's an assignment rather for you that because you are there, the light of God will overcome the darkness. Praise the Lord. They are just simple examples. Many of us just stay there. You are not doing anything. Your extended family, nobody ever got saved. And it doesn't bother you. Maybe in your place, nobody ever knew the Lord. You do not put it on your regular prayer list to be dealing with that. A man of God of so many years ago said something that I like. He said, God does nothing except at the prayers of his people. He says, so if his people don't pray, God will be watching. And the Bible supports that. Acts chapter 12, for instance. That's the story of Acts chapter 12. Herod moved and, killed James, the brother of John. And when he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further until the Bible says the church started to pray. Prayer without ceasing was made for Peter. And then God moved and Peter was released. Praise the Lord forevermore. So that's why when we gather, we pray. That's why we do all the things we do, because we are his representatives here and now. And if you don't do anything, God will be watching. The place we read in Psalm 115, verse 16, it says, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth he has given to whom? To the children of man. So Satan likes to give the impression that he is in charge all over the place, but we thank God he's not in charge everywhere. God had Joseph in Egypt, and God had his Daniel in Babylon. And God has you here. You should have said amen. I don't know why you didn't say amen. You should have said amen. God had Joseph in Egypt. He had Daniel in Babylon. He has you here. If God is planning to do something, that's why he walks in various ways to make sure his will is known. He might give a prophetic word to somebody. He might give a strong impression to somebody. And intends that once that is known, you begin to walk with it in prayers. As the Spirit of God will lead you, maybe he will say, go out, have a day for evangelism, etc., until the will of God in heaven is done on earth. We are a people to whom God has given immense authority. And by the grace of God, we will not fail the law. We will not fail the law. In my own country, where I come from, That is the major assignment that we know God has given to the church. If you are a serious Christian where I come from, you know that you have a big assignment that God expects you to take up and to see that it is done. And most of the time we do this in terms of intensive intercession because of the things, the odds that we are up against there. And we believe God that by the grace of God, eventually the will of God will prevail. It doesn't happen in a jiffy. The times are the seasons are in his hand. But as you do your part, God will fulfill his word. Okay, so we're talking about dominion, and we are saying God made man to walk in dominion. And I just referred to a man of God who used to tell us those days. Yes, G.L. too. He would tell us, he said, if you don't pray, God will do nothing. If you don't pray, God will do nothing. And he said, he will also say, if you don't pray, you cheat God. You cheat yourself. You cheat your generation. Because God does nothing except by the prayer of his people. So that's why when you know that, you push yourself to get things done. You don't wait until you feel like doing it. Because God has to have something to work with. And he works with the contribution that his people make, however they make it. Maybe in the form of prayer. It may be in the form of declaring his word against dry bones. It may be in whatever area. But his people must move. God will not have a people that are docile. God will want his people to take their part, take up their responsibility that he has given to them. And then when they do that, the Spirit of God will move and rule back the kingdom of darkness. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the Lord find us faithful. Genesis 1:16, I want to show something there against in this regard. Genesis 1:16. Genesis 1:16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now, when you take any scripture by the Holy Spirit, you can look at it from three different dimensions. There's the natural, there's the spiritual, there's the prophetic. God made two lights. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. The greater light is the Lord Jesus Christ. The lesser light is the church. You know enough to know that they say that the moon does not have light by itself, but it just reflects the light from the sun. Amen. That's how the church is. We reflect, we are meant to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, the greater light will rule in the day, the lesser light will rule when? In the night. This is the night hour in the history of the world. The world is getting darker and darker and darker. Isaiah saw it in prophecy so many years ago. He said, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is upon thee. He said, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But he said, the light of God will rise upon thee. In the name of Jesus, you will not be part of the darkness. God is looking for vigorous Christians in this last days, militant brethren. People who will be filled with the zeal of the Lord. People who are trusting God to obey him and to take the instruments of authority that God has given to them and to go out and get the job done. In the name of Jesus, we shall not fail him. So you see that a church like this, for instance, is like a boot camp. Militarily speaking, if you recruit, they recruit new people into the army, the first place they take them to is the boot camp. And they train them. This person was a civilian before. Now he has to be converted into, you know, a soldier. And that doesn't come in a day. They train them, give them exercises. They have to wake up in the morning, run, do all kinds of things. Those of them that cannot go through the boot camp, they weed them away. That's the practice all over the world. And those of them that pass, stay. Now they have a new mindset. They are soldiers. They have to be tough. You cannot be a soldier if you are not tough. So they take them through all the training. And you can see that everything about the military is tough. If you take the belt of a, I don't know how it is here, but where I come from, if you see the belt of a soldier, it's not something you can will snap when you pull it. It's very tough. Their boots are tough because the terrain in which they operate most of the time is tough terrain. Okay, so they are trained to be able to withstand tough situations, hard situations. Apostle Paul says in his epistle, he says, therefore, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, he says, you must learn to endure hardness. And after some time, they are released to be able to do what they were recruited to do. This is a boot camp, and I thank God because God is sending people out from here into other parts of the world to get the job done. Amen. Because if we don't go, God is hamstrung. You have to go, then God follows. The Bible, that's the last thing you read in the book of Mark. Look at the book of Mark. Let me read it to you. The last chapter of the Gospel of Mark. That's chapter 16. The very last verse of the book of Mark. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Praise God. So you have to move and then God follows. He confirms his word with signs as we obey him and we move on. Okay. I want to give us many more references on this regard so we'll be convinced that the issue of dominion is something that every Christian, particularly in these last days, must put his heart to. Let's look at Psalm 8. Psalm 8. From verse 1. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Jump to verse 5. Of verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Does anybody have the Revised Standard Version? If you have it, I want you to read verse 5. You see that it puts it a little bit differently. Okay. Anyway, in the Revised Standard Version, does anybody have it? Verse 5. Okay. Okay, please read verse 5. Thank you. You see, verse 5 in the Revised Standard Version, it says, you have made him little less than God. Not little less than angels. Not little less than angels. Portraying the immense power, the man's authority that God has given to the redeemed in Christ. Thou made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put, how many things? All things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Thou hast given him dominion, verse 6, over the works of thy hands, and put all things under his feet. And we read that in Ephesians chapter 1. If you were with me as I was reading, Ephesians 1 from verse 19, particularly if you come to verse 21, it says that in Christ we have been put far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and had put how many things? All things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over how many things? All things. For what purpose? To the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Praise God. All things put under his feet. To what end? To the church. So the church that the Lord has established, the church that the Lord is building, and you know by that, we're not talking about the denomination, we're talking about the ecclesia, the gathering of God's people. All things that have been put under our feet in Christ. Did you hear that? Yeah. All things put under our feet in Christ. And God is looking up to us to get the job done, to get his will established on earth. And in the name of Jesus, we shall not fail him. Back to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I read it some moments ago. He said, there's an evil I have seen under the sun. God calls it an evil under the sun. He says it's an error that proceeds from the ruler. It's the fault of the ruler. It's the fault of my people. That's what God is saying. And he mentions what is happening. He said he finds that princes are riding on horses. Princes are walking on foot, and the servants are riding on horses. And he says, this is the fault of the rulers, because they will not take their place. So we find all kinds of things happening that are out of tune with the will of God when the people of God do not take charge, when they do not use the authority that God has given to them to bind and to loose. I tell you this, when the people of God come together as one and they decide that something will not happen, if they come together in unity, it will not happen. God will honor their word. But if the people of God do not make any move, of course, God will just be watching. As I've said, he said, the heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth I have given to the children of men. We're in charge on earth. We're in charge here to enforce God's will, God's purpose, God's plan. If nobody enforces his will here, nothing gets done. But by the grace of God, so much will get done. In fact, his perfect will get done here and everywhere in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll just do a case study of some examples that we find. There's so many of them, but let's just take a few. Let's look at Caleb. Joshua chapter 14. Let's look at Caleb. This old man of God. Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. Joshua 14. Joshua 14, 12. Now, therefore, this is Caleb talking. Give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Abba, which Abba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. This was a man who was at the age of 85. But he knew the will of God, and he cooperated with God, and God brought it to pass. In the mighty name of Lord Jesus Christ, giants may be on the way to hinder, but by the grace of God, you subdue them. You have to know this. This is from the time of John the Baptist to now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And it's the violent who will what? Take it. They will take it by force. Thank you. You take it by force, not physical force, spiritual force. And spiritual force comes largely by the way of prayers, intensive intercession, prophetic praying, and the word of your testimony. The Bible says in Revelation, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of your testimony is not you quoting the Bible. The word of your testimony is you just saying what is in consonance with the word of God. You say something that you know it agrees with the word. That's the word of your testimony. It's another thing when you quote the word. You can quote the word when you are praying or when you are dealing with certain difficulties. You can quote the word. Or when the devil is tempting you, you can quote the word to resist him, like Jesus did in Matthew 4. But the word of your testimony is what you say from you, but you know what you are saying is in accordance with the word of God. That's the word of your testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will serve a quit notice to the devil today concerning the inheritance that God has given to you. Nobody, nothing is going to prevent you from possessing your possession in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we've seen the example of Caleb. Let's see one or two more examples and then we go. Another example, of course, is the state of Israel today. The state of Israel today is a nation to me that portrays God's supremacy. Because there's no other way you can explain that Israel keeps defeating Arabs that are all around when those Arabs are far ahead of them in terms of population. Israel is a very tiny country. And surrounded by Arab countries that are over 100 million. And each time they fight, Israel wins. And many of us believe it's because of God's covenant with Abraham. The covenant of God concerning Abraham and his people, we believe is working for Israel. So you find that there are people that, even though they've suffered so much in history, there is no way that you can discard of there. The bush that Moses saw, the Bible says the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. And I believe that talks about Israel, and that talks about the church. So the nation of Israel, to me, is another nation you can use as an example of a nation that is eminent, that is prominent, because God is with them. The nation of Israel has experienced so much in terms of all kinds of persecutions. I don't know that there's any group of people in the world that has been as persecuted as the Jews. But you cannot eradicate them. Praise the Lord. They are there. They are not many, but God is with them. They enjoy the covenant of God with Abraham. Today, we might not find many of them that are saved, but God is working on that. They are God's people, and they enjoy God's covenant with Abraham. I have a brother that is close to me in this place. And he said, one day we were discussing about Israel. He said, sir, he said, there is no other way you can explain the history of that country other than the fact that God is with them. And he said, where he walks, he was working at Edison Laboratories not too long ago. He said the number of times they will hit some dead ends. And they were sent to Israel. And some little boys will be sent from Israel. Little in terms of their size, but they are geniuses. And Fola told me, he said they will come and they will sit with the thing one day, one or two days, and they will deliver the answer and go back to Israel. My wife was there when he was saying, I mean, in fact, many of you walk in places where you probably have experienced that too. It's a nation that portrays God's supremacy in a definite and in a unique way. But I'm saying the real Israel is the body of Christ. We are the real Jews. You may look little in your own eyes, but God's investment in your life is not little. And by the grace, you will stand up to be counted for God. You will not just be part of the crowd. You will stand up. You will use the grace that God has given you, the authority that he has given to you. And by the grace of God, you will make your enemy your footstool. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many I have here, but I just want to give one or two more, and then I'll leave it at that. I'm considering some examples of people who walked in dominion. Look at Daniel. Look at Daniel for another example. Daniel is another example. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 46 to verse 49. If you find it there, please read for me. Daniel chapter 2, 46 to 49. Okay. I found it. Daniel chapter 2, from verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and gave him and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Praise the Lord. Daniel is a good example of that. Joshua is another good example of that. Joseph is another good example of that. You remember there was going to be famine in Egypt. The king had a dream and he couldn't decipher it. And this man came and said, well, this is the dream. This is the meaning. And this is what you do to be able to deal with the coming famine. And the king said, well, nobody else is better placed than yourself to be in charge of this. And in doing that, God was using the king to bring to pass what he had planned for Joseph. And Joseph became the prime minister there in Egypt and came to prominence. And today we refer to that as a piece of history where a single person moved in a strange land and the word of God came into prominence because God was walking through him. And I'm trying to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, God's work, God's prophetic declaration is going to be walking through you also. These people, we read about them today, but relative to us, they didn't really know much. I tell people, I said, Daniel had no Bible. You have all kinds of Bibles. Daniel wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't baptized with the Holy Spirit. You are filled, many of you listening to me are filled with the Holy Spirit. But the little he knew, he made the most of it. And that's what we must do. When we are taught in this place, you receive the things you receive free of charge by the dealings of the Spirit of God, you will not receive those things that remain the same. You will activate them. You will actualize them. And when you do that, the glory will be seen. And God will take the glory in heaven. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And I say, amen. That is what will happen in the name of Jesus. You will not be an obscure disciple of Jesus. God has put you where he has put you to shine for him. And you will not fail him there. So this principle of dominion is so vast. And it covers virtually every area of God's dealing, particularly in these last days. God is looking for Daniels, for Josephs, for Esthers. God is looking for people who will cooperate with him where he has located them, in order that his will in that place may prosper. And I'm saying, you are the person. Don't look over your shoulders. You are the person. By the grace of God, you will not fail him. This is a service, this is a message that is calling us to a place of rearming ourselves in terms of God's purposes, asking God for grace. You walk somewhere and things are upside down. Maybe there is somebody there who belongs to the cults and is your boss, and so many things are happening. You fold your hands and go home. I'm not saying you should go to him and confront him. No. You know, it's not the man per se, it's the demon, it's the force that's at work. And if you take it upon yourself as a challenge to say, no, I cannot be here and see Satan take control, and you take it and you give it some attention in terms of intercession and all that the Spirit of God will lead you to do, the kingdom of the devil in that place will be torpedoed. And in the name of Jesus, that is what will happen. Wherever God has put you, maybe your family. Some of us come from, I was the first to be saved in my own family. And to the glory of God, I understood why God put me there. My dad died 41 years ago. I led my dad to Christ. Was it easy? No, it wasn't. My mom died last year. And by the way, I want to thank you for the support you gave me, many of you. The Lord will reward you in Jesus' name. My mom died last year. I led my mom to Christ. These are just simple, simple things that are not far away from us. Thank God for missions far, far away. But many of us have things that we can do for God instead of in terms of standing for him and taking authority over whatever the devil may be doing around us. We are not to go to anybody and confront them. No, Daniel didn't do that in Egypt. Joseph didn't do that. He didn't go to the authorities making provocative statements. No, we don't do that. We don't carry placards unless you are led. I'm not saying it's a sin to carry placards. But I'm just saying that that is not even the most effective way of getting things done. We thank God because we can exercise dominion on our knees. And in the spiritual, there's no distance. You can be praying for somebody in Africa, somebody anywhere on your knees. You can be sending words to somebody over there. You can be decreeing things with regards to some Pharaoh that is doing something there that is against the counsel of God. And if you believe what you are doing, God will honor your words. God will honor your intervention as a priest and as a king for him. And by the grace of God, the testimony will soon manifest. Doesn't come easily. In my own country, for instance, we have been praying, and some of you here that come from there, you are praying. Please keep praying, because by the grace of God, things are not the same. And eventually, the fullness of God's counsel will prevail in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Don't join those who say, we no longer pray for so and so. 2019, I was somewhere, and a brother was saying, he said, bro, I stopped praying for that country a long time ago. I said, why? He told me, I said, no. Some of us don't just pray for the country. We live there. Man, it cannot hurt you more than us. Yeah, I said we live there, yet we pray for the place. So which one in Pidgin, which one be your own? You don't even live there. You don't feel some of the pain, some of the challenges we face. You don't face there. It should be easier for you to pray. So I just encouraged him, and he said, okay, since you said so, I'll give some thoughts to it. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads, please. You are a man to whom God has given dominion. Believer's authority will be another title for this message. That authority is given to you by God. He says, the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth I've given to the children of men. The earth I've given to the children of men. Are you utilizing that authority correctly? Or you are oblivious of it? You don't even know that so much of God's plan depends on you. So much of God's plan depends on you. It's depending on you to fulfill prophecy. When Daniel saw that 70 years were appointed for his people to be taken away from the place of bondage, he started to pray. That was what Daniel did. And when prophecy joins with effective praying, something's about to happen. Something is about to happen. I know you pray for this country. There is a place in the program of God meant for the United States of America to accomplish. And it is our prayer that this country will not fail God. So many years ago, it was Britain. Britain went in its own way, and the glory moved. There was a time it was another country. So many years ago, it was Egypt. They talked of the Egyptian civilization. They gave the glory to their gods. The glory moved. Egypt used to be the center of learning for the whole world. The glory moved. Many of you know that Britain also, so many good things started there. The Industrial Revolution started in Britain in the 18th century. So many things, football, golf, lawn tennis, they all started in Britain. But then they became self-sufficient to the point they said God was no longer first in their reckoning. The glory moved. It's my prayer that the glory will not move from here. That's why you are here. That's why you are here. Ask the Lord to help you fulfill your bit in his program. You have a part. You don't have all of the part. Just a part of God's purpose. It's depending on you. It's resting on you. That by his grace, you fulfill your part. Do you have extended families where nobody is saved but you? And then you are in a place where you have relative comfort. Do you know that that puts on you immense responsibilities? Maybe you didn't know. Just once in a while, you find out, how is Uncle so and so? But all of them are still in the dark. They are on their way to hell. Does it matter to you that you come from that family? It says in the book of Ezekiel, if I say to the sinner, you shall surely die, and you do not give him the word, or you do nothing to see that he receives the light, he said he shall die his sin, but I require his blood at your hand. Paul said, I'm innocent of every man's blood. I labor in such a way to see that I cannot be accused for letting somebody go to hell. That's what he was saying. That's your ministry. That's the ministry of every one of us. You are saved for a purpose. The church is supposed to be a people with a purpose. Thank God for the blessings, but beyond the blessings, there's an eternal assignment that God puts in our hands. And that is number one in the plan of God for these times. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of God is risen upon thee. Gross darkness covers the earth. But he said, the light shall rise upon you, and the Gentiles shall come to that light. Thank you, Father. Everlasting Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the privilege to share these thoughts with your people. Your plan for this hour, your timetable for these times. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that the comforts, the immediate comforts of this environment will not render your people ineffective. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that where the knife has become blunt, where your people have not been able to maintain an effective cutting edge by walking in your will and in your purposes, I pray in the name of Jesus that this word will rejuvenate them, bring them back on their feet. I pray in the name of Jesus that nobody will go away in condemnation, but everybody will go away revived, strengthened by the Spirit of the Most High God to do that we want, that which you want them to do, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that New Covenant Church will continue to wax from strength to strength, from grace to grace, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that in terms of the harvest of these last days, that this church will fulfill her part in the name of Jesus Christ, that everybody here will be faithful unto God, bringing in the sheaves of God, bringing in the harvests of God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. If anybody here is saved but tight, I pray in the name of Jesus that the yoke will be broken. And everybody here will be able to operate in the liberty that Jesus made available to us. That inside and outside, we will be free. Free to do the will of God. Free to run with a vision. Free to obey the full counsel of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that those who may have been sleeping spiritually, I pray, God, that you will revive them. Lord, bring them back to their feet spiritually so that they become sharp for you, so to say, become effective for you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that the fullness of your counsel will be established in this congregation in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.